like to, I don't know, it seemed like these thoughts came from different directions. But I'd like to start in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, in the 3rd verse. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." I was thinking about, he said, we do not war after the flesh. And he says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. I'd like to look at some more verses. 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, that deal with this word carnal. 1 Corinthians 3, and verse, starting at verse 1, it said, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." So we have spiritual and we have carnal. He said, "I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying, strife, and divisions, are ye not carnal, and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? And then, who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man?" So, here in Corinth, you study the book of Corinthians, they had a lot of issues. Oh my, the trouble, trouble, trouble. They had a lot of issues, and it was carnality that they were dealing with. And he mentions, you know, he couldn't speak unto them as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Now, a person can be saved and yet still have some carnality of being a babe in Christ. And we see that in young, they exert a carnal. They want, their desires, their appetites are preeminent. Romans, the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, and the 1st verse, it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." So this is saying the same thing. There's a carnal side. There's a carnal, which is flesh. That's what the word carnal means. It means pertaining to flesh, bodily, temporal, animal, unregenerate. Those words have to do with flesh, with carnal. He said, by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, even though we have flesh and blood. Ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So, to be led of the Spirit, we have to be... the flesh has to be dead. In other words, our fleshly appetites, our fleshly desires, things of the flesh, they have to be put under if the Spirit is going to lead us in our life. If I just do my own thing, if I just say whatever I want to say, and I just go about life doing what's in my mind, and I'm really not waiting on the Spirit or looking to the Spirit, then I begin to walk in the flesh. I begin to live after the flesh. But he's saying here, if we live after the Spirit, the appetites and our thoughts have to be put under subjection to Christ. And we're waiting, we're looking to Him. We're looking for the Spirit's voice. We're waiting for the Spirit's voice. We want God to speak to us. That's being Spirit-led. That's being spiritual. We want God working through us. It's not just what we can do in the flesh. It's what the Spirit can do. The Lord wants to work through us. And we want to wait on the Spirit. We want to look to the Spirit. We want to be guided by the Spirit. But he started out, he said, we do not war after the flesh, and the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So, the Lord wants us to be our battle. You know, in the Old Testament, it was a physical, it was a temporal, when they went out to battle. God helped them and God blessed them. But the New Testament is different than the Old Testament. There was a change made. And that was more of a temporal, ceremonial, it was... God helped them, but they didn't have the indwelling Spirit to live in them. I want to look at John, the Gospel of John, 18th chapter. And I'd like to start reading at the 33rd verse. It says, and Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the King of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? And Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. So Jesus is a king. Jesus was and he is a king. And he has a kingdom. But it's not like the kingdoms of this world. It's a spiritual kingdom. It's a kingdom where he doesn't, it's not a king that forces people into his kingdom. It's a kingdom, it's a spiritual kingdom that happens when we yield ourselves to God and we repent of our sins and we're born again, we're born into his kingdom, and we go on to receive the Holy Spirit. We ask the Spirit of God to inhabit us and dwell in us. And the Lord is a king. He does have a throne, but it's not an earthly throne. Different times the Jews tried to take him to make him king when he fed the multitude. Well, this is who we need. And I'm so glad that he didn't yield to that temptation of earthly glory, earthly honor. To live as a king, he had something so much higher. Why would you settle for an earthly throne when you could have a throne next to God? Be seated at the right hand of the throne of thrones. Why would you settle for an earthly throne? Earthly thrones look big to us. I mean, people look powerful. They have influence. They do things. But compared to the throne of God, those are rubbish. Those don't amount to anything. And Jesus didn't yield to that temptation. He knew who he was. I believe in one place, here it is. He said, Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king? Then Jesus answered him, Thou sayest that I'm a king. To this end was I born. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Now, we live in the United States. The United States is a kingdom. It's a nation. It's a power. I am very grateful for the blessings that I have had in my life from living in this country. I enjoy the freedoms that I have. There's a lot of things that I don't like about this country. There's a lot of wickedness and things that are happening in this country that I... This is where I was born. This is where I didn't choose to be born here. I didn't choose my parents. This is where I came. This is where I am. But I am part of another kingdom that surpasses the United States. And that's where my allegiance is. I love my country. I love the biblical foundation of our country, but it's not a spiritual kingdom. The Lord's kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. It's the true kingdom that will endure, that will last, and that's where our allegiance needs to be. And Jesus made it very clear You know, they tempted him. They said, you know, we were studying this recently. The Pharisees got the Herodians. And I had never really looked into that. The Herodians were Herod's diplomats. They were people that worked for Herod, who was under Caesar. He was his allegiance was to Caesar. Herod was. The Pharisees, when they came to Jesus, they brought the Herodians with them. And I never understood this before until lately. And then they ask him the question. Okay, here's the Jews that don't like paying taxes. They don't like being under Roman rule. And here's the Herodians that are Herod's. And they ask him a question. Is it lawful to pay Caesar, tribute to Caesar or not? So they had him pinned. They had him. They thought they had him pinned. If he answers no, then the Herodians are going to tell Herod, and Herod's going to do away with him if he's telling people not to pay taxes. And then he's going to make a mess of the Jews because the Jews don't like. But Jesus told them to bring him a coin. And they brought him a coin, and he asked him, he said, whose superscription is on the coin? And they said, Caesar. Caesar's coin. He said, render therefore to Caesar that which is Caesar's, and render to God what belongs to God. The Lord recognizes governments. He recognizes nations. He recognizes powers. Romans, the scriptures in Romans talks about being subject unto there have been some Christians that didn't believe in paying taxes, and I don't know how they get that. I don't know how they believe. I don't see how you can read the scriptures, but there's some people that they just always get paid in cash. They don't pay taxes, and they claim to be. But Jesus told them to render to Caesar. We pay. The scripture tells us to pay our taxes. It says, "Give tribute to whom tribute is due. Give honor to whom honor is due." God wants us to reverence. He wants us to pray for our rulers. He wants us to reverence and honor and respect the authority. And I really feel like I believe there's a real breakdown. It is hard to respect and honor what's happening in our country. And I get that. I believe that. I see that. But Lord, help not our reverence for the office to be broken down. God wants us to have. In one place it talked about they're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. There was something that was just broken down that they didn't respect or they didn't honor, and the Lord doesn't want us to lose our respect and our honor for the office, the positions that are in place. But our main allegiance is to Christ and to His kingdom and to His cause. And if the earthly kingdom that we're under would ever come against our belief, our convictions of what we believe God wants us to do, then our first allegiance is to God. And the apostles made that very clear, said we ought to obey God rather than men, because they wanted them to quit teaching in the name of Jesus, and we can't do that. But he said, my kingdom is not of this world. There's a temptation, and I believe Jesus, I believe the devil at his crucifixion, Jesus had to offer a sinless sacrifice for it to be accepted to God. The pressure that Jesus felt, the onslaught of contradiction of sinners against himself, I believe the devil was trying to get him to enter in into a carnal warfare, a carnal fight, wanting to get him to retaliate, to sin. If he got him to sin in those last moments, those last hours, if he would have just went off and, you know, cursed him and spit back and all those kinds of things, his sacrifice would not have been accepted. It had to be a sinless sacrifice that he was offering. Jesus didn't fight. And Peter, you remember, he said here, if my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. Peter pulled the sword. He was going to fight. But Peter was carnal, wasn't he? Peter was acting out of his flesh. The devil's going to tempt us sometimes to be carnal. He's going to tempt us to fight what appears to be coming against us. There's a temptation, just like there was with Jesus. With everyone, there's a temptation to begin to fight against something in the flesh, against something within our own human flesh. But we want to be careful to stay in tune with God, to stay in the Spirit, remembering that our kingdom is not of this world. We belong to a greater kingdom that we're a part of. I wanted to mention a dream that I came across this person had. It's been a few years, but it was a dream that he had, and I'll share it the best that I can. It kind of went along with these thoughts the Lord had been giving me, talking to me about. He was in the White House, and he was walking down this aisle, and there was these office people that were sitting in their cubicles, and they were looking who was coming down this aisle, and they looked at him, and they looked behind him, and then they just looked down like in fear. And he said he was going forth, and it was this presence behind him was just directing and pushing. He didn't know who was all behind him. He couldn't see behind him. But they go into this room, this conference room, and he is there with three other people, and they're sitting and waiting to find out what's going to happen, what's going to take place. And so they started conversing with one another, and then finally two people come in, and he said, you definitely knew that they were in charge. But they were in control. This was in his dream. And the two that came in pointed out to the other three, not him that had the dream, but the other three that were with him, they pointed to them and they said, this one has to go, this one has to go, this one has to go, this one stays. So they ushered these other three people out of the room, and they're sitting there for a little bit, and then after just a moment, it's time, he hears three shots. And then one of the two that were in power there, they said, wow, that was done rather quickly. Or taken care of rather quickly. And they said, but you. And they started talking to him. And they said, they told him, they said, you don't know who you're fighting against. You don't know the depth of what you're up against. And in his dream, he said the one of them, he took his skin and pulled it off of his face. And it was the devil. It was Satan. And I believe that this morning. We are in a battle against the powers of darkness, Satan. It's not a flesh and blood battle. We cannot fight carnally. There's going to be a strong temptation to fight carnally. But if we're going to make heaven our home, we're going to have to fight spiritually, the way that God wants us to fight our battles. Because the devil, there's another scripture, Ephesians, I wanted to get. Ephesians 6 and 10. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. There's powers that are working. People, it's not. It is people, but it's not people. It's Satan behind the scenes orchestrating. And that's what we're up against. That's what our. It's not just with the person that we see, like in this guy's dream. It's not just the person that's right in front of us, but it's the powers of Satan that are working underneath. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. Lord, help us today. The Lord wants us to fight spiritually. He doesn't want us to resort to carnal warfare. That ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Lord, teach us how to pray in the Spirit. You know, praying in the Spirit is not just saying our few words and going through our little list of requests. Praying in the Spirit is seeking after God, seeking after wanting to know His will, seeking after His presence, seeking after His knowledge, His understanding, offering ourselves up to Him. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. May the Lord help us and encourage us and challenge us to fight a spiritual. The battle is in the spiritual realm. I know sometimes it's easy to get discouraged when we don't see sometimes the answers to prayer right away. We don't see maybe sometimes things change like we would like for them to change at times. Let's not lose our courage and strength, because I believe this morning that it says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. That's what the Word of God teaches us. There's much that avails because of prayer, of righteous people praying. But this is our armor. This is what is going to enable us to stand in the evil day. And we are in an evil day. We are in an evil time. But these things will help us to stand and help us to be what God wants us to be. I want one more scripture. It came to my mind. Revelations, the 12th chapter. Revelations 12. This is how the great red dragon was cast out. Verse 9. Well, let's read verse 7. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was there found place any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, what kind of battle is he talking about here? It says war in heaven. It was the spiritual, ecclesiastical war that was taking place between the early church and pagan Rome. And it said the great red dragon was cast out. He was bound. He said in verse 10, it said, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." How did they cast the dragon down? How did they overcome the powers of Satan, the powers of darkness? Verse 11 tells us. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. There was a lot of Christians, a lot of children of God, the martyrs that lost their life fighting with the great red dragon. But it wasn't a physical, it affected them physically, but the warfare was spiritual. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. In the last part of that verse, they loved not their lives unto death. Lord, help us not to get too comfortable here. Help us not to be too comfortable in this earthly kingdom. Help us to live for the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ. But they overcame, and I'm confident that there is no power that God can help us to overcome. Also, that we can fight a good fight, that we can finish our course, that we can keep the faith and be what God is calling us to be. Our soul is the most important thing. Our soul. And if the devil will tempt us into getting into a carnal warfare, we're going to be in trouble. We've got to stay spiritual. We've got to stay in tune with God. And that's what the person that gave this dream, that's what he was encouraging people. He said, you folks that don't attend services out there, he said, you better get connected. Because it's a spiritual battle that we're in. Lord, help us today to fight the battle. The weapons of our warfare are mighty. God is able to keep us and to help us. But we want to fight on a spiritual level, not on a carnal level. Appreciate your attention this morning.